There are countless self-help solutions and schemes in the world. Read this book, read that book, attend this seminar, try this diet, try this exercise program, try this plan, try this program, try this idea, read this author, rent this DVD, all self-help stuff, and the result is a defeated, discouraged society. Because none of it works. No list of rules, no program can make you a good person. But God can. The Apostle Paul wrote about this horrible frustration of trying to be good and always battling sin within. You're in Romans chapter 7. Starting from verse 14, will you please stand with me as we read the Word of God? Romans 7:14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I find this law at work. When I want to be good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Will you pray with me, please? This is a treasure, a priceless, awesome treasure in God's Word. Will you pray that God would touch you and make your heart soft and trusting and humble and submissive, that you would receive this glorious treasure from God today.
Will you pray for the other people in this room? The same thing, that God would give them an open, honest, humble, trusting, submissive heart, that they might receive this glorious treasure of the Word of God today. Now would you pray for me that by the power of the Holy Spirit, self-abasing, Christ-exalting, I would preach this word accurately and therefore powerfully. Oh God, this passage is so powerful, it preaches itself. May I explain it clearly and let your word do the work. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You're in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to study today. We're going to unpack the glorious treasures of simply verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We will pick it up with verse 5 next week, if the Lord wills. We will pick it up with verse 5, and we will go through the chapter for the next several weeks. So, you're in Romans 8. Be sure and get a bookmark or something. Never, ever leave Romans 8. We'll be in several other places throughout the Bible, but never leave Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is the Greek word katakrima. It means guilty verdict. Guilty verdict. In this verse, it goes beyond that. It not only means guilty verdict, but it also means guilty punishment that comes from that verdict. Number one in your notes, sometimes I try and reword these. Any rewording this time would have been a complete disservice to you and to me. Number one in your notes, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. No condemnation. No guilty sentence. No guilty verdict. No punishment coming from the guilty verdict. No condemnation whatsoever for those in Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5 behind me on the screen. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin, the one man being Adam. The judgment followed one sin. That's when he took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, that is Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass, that's Adam's sin, was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in Romans 8. Look forward just a bit, perhaps a page, to verse 31. Romans 8, 31 through 34. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Look at that question again. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. God has justified us, Trinity Baptist Church. Who is going to condemn us? Nobody. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. As I said in this verse, condemnation is not just the guilty verdict, it is also the punishment coming from the guilty verdict. We are saved from a guilty verdict, and we are saved from a punishment as well. We are saved from the punishment of our sins in Christ Jesus. Look behind me at Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We are saved from the guilty verdict. We are saved from the punishment. We are also saved from the power of sin. Sin no longer has authority over us. We are set free from it. Sin is no longer our master. Why can I say that? Look at our passage today. Romans 8, verse 1 again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Stay in Romans 8 and please join me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus has set us free. Let's look at our verse more closely in Romans chapter 8. Listen, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. That's what Romans 8, 2 says. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is simply the fact that we are in bondage to sin. The world is in bondage to sin. The non-believer is in bondage to sin. The person who has not accepted Jesus Christ in his or her heart is in bondage to sin. The law of sin and death is simply the fact that sin has authority over us. It's like the law of gravity. We are in bondage to the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. Why? We're in bondage to the law of gravity. I cannot slam dunk a basketball. Oh, how I tried. Oh, how I tried when I was in high school. I'm 5'9". I've always been 5'9". Actually, I've not always been 5'9". But as long as I've been an adult, I've been 5'9". And I wanted to slam dunk a basketball. Michael, I can't fake people out. The only way I can attack the basket is bam! And I tried and tried and tried and I cannot do it. Why? Because I'm in bondage to the law of gravity. The law of sin and death is the same. When you are born, you are in bondage to the law of sin and death. We are under its power. Just like gravity has authority over us, sin and death have authority over the human race. The human race is under the law of sin and death. Sin controls us, corrupts us, and our bondage to sin and death will ultimately doom us to destruction. Sin is aroused or brought to life by the law of Moses. You're in Romans 8. Turn one page over to Romans 7. And please join me in Romans 7:7. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? This is the law of Moses. Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, look at this. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment, put me to death. Do you see that? Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment, put me to death. The law of Moses did not save people. All it did was bring sin to life. All the rules and laws of this world, all the rules and laws of this world, no matter how good they are, cannot save you. In your notes, number 2, the Holy Spirit has set us free from sin and death. The Holy Spirit has set us free from sin and death. We are saved from the punishment of eternal hell, and we are saved from the bondage of the law of sin and death. There is no bondage to sin for those who are in Christ. Why? Because we are united to Christ. We are united to Christ. And we come back to our verse, Galatians 2:20. Look at it on the screen behind me. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have been united with Christ. Christ has come to live in our hearts, and the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit has come into my heart. The Holy Spirit has come into your heart and set you free. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are still a slave of sin. If you're here this morning and you have never surrendered to Jesus Christ, you are a slave of the law of sin and death. Sin will control your life no matter what books you read, no matter what DVDs you rent, no matter who you listen to, no matter what you do. You cannot defeat sin. And in the end, you will be doomed to eternal hell. You must have Christ in your heart. Look at verse 3 in our text today. Romans 8, 3. He explains himself further. For what the law was powerless to do. Let's start with one. I just love to have this whole thing. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. John MacArthur says the gospel is contained in this verse. Romans 8:3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. What was the law powerless to do? Save us from sin. It is powerless to do that. Number 3 in your notes. The law could not save us because we are corrupted from within. The law could not save us because we are corrupted from within. Powerless in this verse is the Greek word adunatos. Adunatos. And it means impotent or weak. It means impotent or weak. Let me show you how this verse is used in God's word. Look at Acts 14:8 behind me. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. Crippled is the Greek word adunatos. It means impotent or weak. Romans 8:3. The law was powerless, says the word of God. It can also be translated impossible. Impossible. Fascinating use of this Greek word in Hebrews chapter 10. Please go there with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Do you remember in the Old Testament how the children of Israel offered animal sacrifices? You remember that? We've talked about that before. Hebrews 10 is talking about that. Look at it in verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. By the way, if you have not read the book of Hebrews, please do that slowly and carefully. The book of Hebrews is essential to your understanding of God's salvation. It is essential. You must read that book. If you haven't read it, read it slowly and carefully. If you have read it, read it 5 or 6 more times. It explains the gospel so clearly. You need the information in that book. You need it. Hebrews 10, Where was I? For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endless year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. He's talking about the animal sacrifices. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible, adunitas, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It is also impossible for the law to save us. The law is powerless. Just like the man who's crippled, the law is powerless to save us. Look at Galatians chapter 3 on the screen behind me. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. If a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. We must have Jesus. The law cannot save us because we are sinners by nature. When we are born sinners. No law can save us. Listen to this logic. If the law of Moses, the most perfect law ever, can't save you, then no other law can. No program, no DVD, no book, no author, no seminar. It cannot be done. Nothing can save you except Jesus. Look at verse 3 again. Romans 8, 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. The law is powerless to save us. So God saved us. How did God save us? By sending his own Son. By sending his own Son. Please join me in John chapter 6. John 6, 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and still you don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You struggle with knowing whether or not you're saved. You struggle, you fear that when Jesus comes back, you might not go to heaven. Listen, if Jesus is in your heart, you have nothing to be afraid of. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I will see you there. God saved us by sending his Son. For what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man. Look at Hebrews 2 behind me on the screen. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, that is Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Isn't that a great verse? That's from Hebrews. Let's look at some more in Hebrews. Hebrews is so fascinating. Why don't you join me in Hebrews chapter 7? Hebrews 7:26. This is talking about Jesus, of course. Such a high priest meets our need. Listen to this description of Christ. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. That is Jesus. Holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Praise God. Join me in Hebrews chapter 9. I just want you to read the whole book of Hebrews. It's so wonderful. Hebrews is such a wonderful explanation of the gospel. Probably the climax is Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. You remember all this. You've read the Old Testament. Moses gave regulations. They set up a tabernacle. Look at it. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room, there was a lampstand, the table, the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. You can read about all of this in the book of Exodus, which had the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory. This is all described in the Old Testament, overshadowing the atonement cover. We cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, this is all described in the Old Testament, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. This is what happened. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is showing by this. This is why you must read the Old Testament. You must read the Old Testament to understand the gospel. Amen. The Holy Spirit was showing by this. What was the Holy Spirit showing? By all this, tabernacle and everything, that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. You see, there is the earthly tabernacle, but there's the heavenly one as well. That's the one that counts. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. That is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Praise the Lord. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are what? Outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Goes on in verse 23. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. It's talking again about the earthly tabernacle during the days of Moses. It was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, that is, the blood of bulls and goats. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all. Those three words summarize the whole argument. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise God. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I hope you want to read the whole book of Hebrews. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. But we're in Romans this morning. So, what the law could not do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. Praise God. Remember verse 1? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because sin has been condemned. Christ defeated sin, set us free from sin. We have been rescued. These words were in one of Carrie's songs that we sang earlier. Look with me behind me at the screen. 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In your notes, number 4, God saved us by sending his Son to set us free from sin's penalty and power. What is the glorious result of God's work for us in Christ? Well, the glorious result is, as we've seen already, our place in heaven is secure. But What do we get right here now? We can finally keep the law. Look at verse 4 in Romans chapter 8. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Fully met is the Greek word plerao. Plerao. It means full. It means to fill, to accomplish, or to complete. To fill, to accomplish, or to complete. It can be used physically in the New Testament. When the disciples are fishing, their nets are full. Plerao. It can be used metaphorically in a host of ways. Also physically, John the Baptist is preaching. He says, every valley will be filled. Filled. Plerao. It can also be used metaphorically. It's used a lot in the Bible. Here's an interesting one. This is trivia for you. This is not trivia. Excuse me. Nothing in the Bible is trivia. I did not say that. Stop the tape. This is extra. Yes, Greek word plerao. Look behind me. Philippians 4:19. Remember, it means to fill, to accomplish, or to complete. And my God will meet, plerao, all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Here's another one. Plerao, to fill, to accomplish, or complete. Look at Colossians 2:10 behind me. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. What does it mean to fulfill the law? It means to keep it, to obey it. God gave Israel the law of Moses, but they could not keep it, and no one ever has. All the law did was show us we are sinners needing to be rescued. But now, the righteous requirements of the law can be fully met in us. Why? Because the law has been written on our hearts. The law has been written on our hearts. What does it mean to fulfill the law? Let's look at the word plerao again. The righteous requirements of the law can be fully met, plerao, in us. Look at Romans 13 behind me on the screen. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Look at another verse behind me. Galatians 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up, plerao, to fill, to fulfill, to accomplish, to complete. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Trinity Baptist, love fulfills the law. If we love, we are fulfilling the law. The Holy Spirit lives inside my heart, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Number 4 in your notes, or 5, excuse me. Number 5 in your notes. God saved us so we could fulfill the law by the power of the Spirit who lives in us. God saved us so we can fulfill the law by the power of the Spirit who lives in us. Let's look at the whole beautiful passage one more time, and I'm done. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin and sinful man. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Trinity Baptist, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. He loves you. Completely surrender to Him. Give Him total control of your life. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Will you pray with me, please? Maybe you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You need Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but for those who are not in Christ, they are condemned already. If you're here right now and you do not know Christ, you stand condemned. That is your condition. There is a guilty verdict over your head. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, took all of your punishment for all of your sin, so that you could be delivered from sin's power and penalty. The elders will be off to my left, your right, for just a few moments after church. Come and talk to us. Let us pray with you. Let us answer your questions. And Heavenly Father, our simple prayer this morning for ourselves is that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.